Good morning. It's great to be with you here at KCC today. My name's Nicola. I'm the pastor here at Nottingley. If you're visiting us for the very first time, then an extra special welcome to you. This week, we're going to carry on with our series in the Book of Ruth, and we'll be looking at Ruth chapter 4. Just a little message from the food bank. Usually at harvest time, we make a collection in the church building, but because we're not gathering together, we've been unable to do that this year. But you can still make a donation if you'd like to. If you've got some tinned goods or some dried goods, then it'd be brilliant if you could drop those off at the church building on Thursday between the hours of 10 and 12. If you don't actually come into the church building because we have to limit the numbers in there, and just drop your goods in the doorway, that would be fantastic. And it'd be a great help over this season for the food bank. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you are provider. We want to thank you that you are Almighty God. Lord, and we praise you this morning as we come together. We pray, God, that you would speak to us, that we would hear your word, and that Holy Spirit, you would stir something within us this morning. And Lord, that when we hear your word this morning, God, that we would respond, Lord, to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our series from Ruth so far. Let us do a little bit of a recap to where we have been looking. So in the first week from Ruth chapter 1, we looked at the three characters within the story of Ruth within that first chapter. We looked at Orpah, we looked at Ruth, and we looked at Naomi. And they all had decisions to make. Ruth chose to follow God. Naomi chose to return to God, and Orpah chose to walk away. And these decisions that they made had massive consequences on their life. In the second session that we had in Ruth chapter 2, we looked at stepping out into the plans that God has set before us. That for us not to wait, but to step out, to move, and to be proactive in stepping into what God has for us. Then we had Ruth chapter 3. Last week we looked at God having a plan. You know that when we have hope, when we have hope in God and when we have hope in life, we plan and we make a strategy around what God is showing us. And then we trust God that he will provide and he will make a way. This week, we're going to look at the final chapter of Ruth, and we're going to be looking at Boaz as the kinsman redeemer.
Ruth chapter 4. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, "Sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel, concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself." So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Amalek's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab. And Amminadab begot Nashon. And Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David.
Their situation. Now, Ruth was in a situation not of her making. Ruth wasn't planning on the life that she had. When she married her husband, she didn't think that she would be a widow a few years later in a land that wasn't her own, living in poverty. Her husband had died. She was a widow. She was childless. And she was a foreigner in a land that she did not know. She didn't have great prospects. And she was in a place that was difficult and almost impossible to move forward. Because in those times when they lived, if you were a widow and if you were childless, then it was very difficult for you to move forward in society. But there was that little glimmer of hope. There could be somebody that could redeem her, that could take her from where she was and put her in a higher place. Now, Ruth had a newfound faith in God, and she loved God and she trusted God, and she knew that he would make a way. But still, she found herself in quite a desperate and overwhelming situation. Naomi was in the same position, a widow, and she was childless. She had a daughter-in-law, but her sons had died, so she didn't have those prospects. She had no one to look out for her and no one to help her to move forward in society and to get to that better place. You know, Naomi was in a situation probably because some of the decisions that her and her husband had made, maybe all for the right reasons, but still through the decisions that they'd made in their past. But Ruth found herself in the field with Boaz. Now, Boaz was a kind, godly man who was wealthy, who had land, and he was a distant relative of Naomi, which meant that he could be a kinsman redeemer. Now, kinsman redeemer is somebody who takes the wife of a deceased family member as their own, so that they can provide a child to carry on the name of the deceased man and the deceased relative, so that their family line and their family name could carry on. It's a little bit like a fairy tale love story that you would see in Disney, is Ruth. You know, would it have an happy ending? We've got Ruth, an immigrant, an outsider, somebody who was poor and in need. Was her life about to be transformed? Their redeemer. Ruth and Naomi had a glimmer of hope. We spoke last week about hope and how important it is for stepping forward and moving into better things and moving into and planning to do greater things. Ruth and Naomi could see a glimmer of a better future. Their situation could potentially be completely changed around. They could move from a position of poverty to a position of wealth and a position of stability and a good future. Now, if Boaz was to acquire Ruth, Ruth as his wife, Ruth's firstborn son would keep Mahlon's name alive. It would keep the name of Elimelech alive, and this would go from generation to generation. It wouldn't stop in this generation. The firstborn son would possess the legal right of ownership of all of the family's inheritance. Naomi clung to this hope, and Ruth clung to a hope of a better future. And they made that positive step. They went to see Boaz and ask him if he would redeem them, if he would be a kinsman redeemer. But you know, Naomi and Ruth had to trust. They set in motion something. They went and asked Boaz if he would do this. But then they had to step back. They went back to their homes and they had to wait for it to unfold and for a decision to be made. It was not in their hands. It was in the hands of Boaz and the relative that was closer, because Boaz said he would be quite happy to be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. But there was a person, a man that was a closer relative, and so he had that first refusal. It was his responsibility. And Boaz said that he would go and speak to this person to see whether he would follow through with that and whether or not he would marry Ruth and redeem their family. So Boaz went into the town. He went into the town with the town leaders and sat and met with the man, because this was going to be a legal transaction. Now, a kinsman redeemer was the nearest family member, and they redeemed land and they gave an heir for a dead brother or a dead relative, or they redeemed somebody who had been sold into slavery, or they if a member of the family had been killed, then they went about bringing justice for that member of the family that had been killed. Naomi and Ruth had to wait to decide until this decision had been made, whether it was going to be Boaz or the other relative. But you know, God had started this plan. God had opened up the opportunity for Boaz. And Naomi and Ruth were trusting that God would continue that plan and follow it through to the end. You know, Ruth stepped out of her door into the place that God had planned for her. When she stepped out of her home and into Boaz's field, then God's plan began to unfold in front of her. She started a journey of faith. and her life took an unexpected direction. Sometimes we can't see the wood for the trees. We don't know what's happening around us, and we can't understand where we are and how we can be in this situation and how to get out of it. That was very similar to Ruth, but she stepped out and she saw God at work. The redemption. You know, Boaz was prepared to pay the price. He was prepared to take that risk. He was prepared to risk all that he had for Ruth. The other man who's not named in this scripture, the relative that was closer to Naomi, didn't. He wasn't prepared to count the cost. It was too costly for him. He decided that he couldn't redeem. Maybe that was because if Ruth was to have a son and that child was the only surviving heir, then maybe all his own property would transfer to the family of Elimelech. Maybe the land, if he was to prosper within that, that too would go to the line of Elimelech. For whatever reason, he decided that he couldn't pay that price. So Boaz redeemed the land and he took Ruth for himself as his wife. It was a legal transaction. This decision was made in front of the elders. And it was what Ruth and Naomi were hoping for. Their hope for a better future began to change into reality. Now the elders proclaimed a blessing on Ruth and Boaz, that they would go from being empty to full. Now when Ruth was married to Mahlon, she was married to him for years and she'd never had a child. They didn't have children together. But now we see God at work in a special way. Boaz took Ruth as his wife and she bore a son. Ruth experienced a complete reversal of life. She became full. She also became his wife. If we notice all the way through the scriptures, the way that Ruth was described, she was described as a servant. She was described as a foreigner. And sometimes she was described as a servant, as the lowest of the low servants. But now she had become his wife. She'd taken from being a foreigner, an outsider, to a wife. Her whole status had changed. And Naomi took the son of Ruth and Boaz. And the townswomen were ecstatic with this, saying that Naomi now could be full of joy, that God had brought a child to carry on the family name, that God had restored the family. You know, it was a happy ending for Ruth and Naomi. God worked out such an amazing plan that Ruth and Naomi, when they were in a place of despair, God brought a redeemer. And Ruth and Naomi, lives were changed for the better. Our situation. You know, we can find ourselves in similar situations to that of Ruth and Naomi. We can find ourselves in places that maybe are not of our making, that external circumstances have affected our life. It could even be through decisions and choices that we've made in the past, that maybe our lives are not in a great place. But you know, we're all far away from God. We all fall short. Even the person that seems to have it all, even the person that seems to do all the right things. We may not even see our need for God. But are we assured of a secure future? When I say that, you might think of, are we secure in our finances? Have we got a good pension? Do we know what's coming? Have we made it for ourselves in the future? But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our security in who we are in relation to God. Do we know that our eternity is secure? You know, we've all fallen short of God's standard. And it goes back to Adam and Eve. When they did what was wrong in the sight of God, there was a separation from God. You know, we all fall short to the standard that God requires. And that affects the whole of mankind. We're all separated from God. But that was not God's intention. God loves us. God loves you. But we're spiritually poor. We are lost. We need a redeemer, just like Ruth and Naomi. Somebody who could be a redeemer that would take us from the place where we are, separated from God and all that he has and all that he is, to redeem us back into a relationship with him. Because we can't do it on our own. Just like Ruth and Naomi couldn't make it on their own. We can't do that. In Romans 3:23, from the Message Bible, it says, "But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by the means of Jesus Christ." Our Redeemer. You know, just like Ruth, we too need a Redeemer, someone to save us from our situation, the situation that we find ourselves from in, the situation of not being in relationship with God. And there's only one Redeemer who can bring reconciliation with God and can bring us back into relationship with him and can ensure us of a future and an eternity with God. Our Redeemer is Jesus. Jesus, God's Son, was born in human form and he lived a life free of wrongdoing. And he came for us. You know, Jesus died, we all know at Easter when we hear about Jesus and dying on the cross. He took on himself all of our wrongdoing. He took on himself our situation, all the things that separate us from God, and died in our place so that we could be forgiven, so that we can be seen as pure and righteous in God's sight, and that we could be brought back to where God always wanted it to be. We need to be brought back into a relationship with him. You know, Jesus paid our price. He paid the price with his life. And he did that willingly. He did it to set us free. You know, we have to choose. We have that decision to make. Jesus died for each and every one of us, but we have to acknowledge Jesus and what he has done for us. We need to ask God for forgiveness, that we can have reconciliation. We have to accept Jesus as our Redeemer. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "For the Son of Man came not to be cared for, but he came to care for others. He came to give his life so that many could be bought by his blood and made free from the punishment of sin. The redemption. God has a plan. As we read through Ruth, we can see that the plan of God unfold. He has everything in place. He directed Ruth's steps. He provided Ruth with the opportunity in Boaz's field. And Ruth and Naomi had their part to play in that. But God had a plan to bring redemption and to bring a better life for Ruth and Naomi. God had a plan. All the way through scriptures, we see God's plan of reconciliation and redemption for mankind. And all the way through scripture, we can see that it points to Jesus. Jesus is the plan for mankind. There doesn't need to be another. There can't be another. He and he alone is our kinsman redeemer. He was willing to pay the price for us. You know, he paid that ultimate price of giving his life in exchange for our redemption so that we could be in relationship with God. It was meant to be from the beginning of time. From Jesus' birth to his death on the cross and his resurrection, this was the plan that God made so that we could return to him. In Ephesians 1, it says, "All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us into himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding." You know, there is only one true Redeemer for us, and his name is Jesus Christ. There may be others that would make us promises. There may be others who make us believe claims, but only Christ can save us. Only Christ can redeem us. You know, just as Ruth's position was changed, so is ours when we accept Jesus. When we recognize him as our Redeemer, we become a child of God, a son and a daughter, heirs with Christ. Just like Ruth's position changed, so does ours. But we have to recognize Jesus as our Redeemer. Do you recognize him as your Redeemer? If not, today can be the day when you accept Jesus and become a son or a daughter of God. Let us pray. Lord, we know that we've all fallen short. We've all fallen short of what you expect of us. Help us to understand that we need a Redeemer. And help us to understand that we have a Redeemer in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price so that we can be reconciled to God, so that we can have all of our wrongdoings forgiven and be at peace with God. Thank you that we can be called sons and daughters and that our future is secure in you. Amen. Well, if you'd like to know more, or maybe if you want to ask questions, do get in touch through Facebook. Go to our Facebook and private messages, and we'll love to chat things through with you. It's great that you could join with us this morning, and I hope you have a fantastic week. Don't forget that you can drop off any dried or tinned goods at the food bank at the KCC building between 10 and 12 o'clock on Thursday. Any amount of goods would be highly appreciated. Have a fantastic week. See you later.